Welcome to Security Guy TV at Black Hat 2017. What's your name, sir?
My name is John Yun. I'm the head of marketing at Zingbox.
Zingbox. I love that name. Mm-hmm. And I conjured up all kinds of crazy things in my head.
So what they do, right?
I know. So let's to you too, right? So let's clear it up. What do you guys do?
So we're an IoT security vendor. So we provide security for IoT devices like connected medical devices, HVAC systems, and like surveillance cameras.
What about the PLCs and monitors and RTUs? Do you apply security to those devices as well?
We focus primarily on the IoT devices, but what we're seeing now is that because of these security threats are broadening to other areas, there's a lot of requests coming in for security overall across different networks.
Now, you caught my attention with this hospital device thing, right? The last guy said, most hospitals, not most, but a lot, use Windows XP.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even designed to be on the internet, right? It's like, what are we doing? And then I'm worrying about whether my heart monitor has the latest software.
Or insulin pump, for that matter.
I know, exactly, right? And they don't keep that up to date. And I got really worried. So I need you to make me feel better about this subject. So
I wish I could.
Well, but you guys are trying to solve that.
Yeah.
So tell us what you do to solve those kind of problems.
Yeah, so the interesting is, you know, when the recent WannaCry ransomware hit, we looked at the devices that are out there, and surprisingly, about 11% of all medical devices ran Windows XP. So that just tells you how big the issues are.
Yeah.
So what we do is basically look at the network itself, look at all the traffic that's going in and out of these devices, and based on that analytics, we can determine whether the device is acting the way it's supposed to be, or whether it's been infected, or whether it's taken over by some other actors.
And how does it do that? Is it looking at the normal behavior of what that device should be communicating to, mm-hmm. versus going outside that normalization?
Right. Yeah. So the first thing we do is we take a look at what it's doing today. And in some ways, we can actually learn what the normal behaviors are. And so that, later on, when it's behaving outside of that baseline, we can kind of determine, whether it's been hacked or compromised and so on.
So I'm going to stick with this medical thing a little bit, because I go to doctors a lot with my broken leg, okay? Remember Mission Impossible, a couple seasons, shows back? And they, program the guy's pacemaker to go, oops, mm-hmm. and give him a heart attack. It's possible, isn't it?
It is very possible. Yeah. It is very possible,
These are modern devices, latest technology, batteries that last a lifetime. Oops, mm-hmm. we forgot to put a password on it on my pacemaker. I'm going, what the heck is going on there? How do you guys protect those devices? A pacemaker, my dad's pacemaker, it's mobile, it can dial in, all that kind of stuff. But I guess it's on the network.
Or like, think about
it's like a camera on the network, the same thing.
Think about the consumer level in your home. Everyone's home devices have now been fitted with the latest technologies, your TV, your refrigerator, your alarm system. Does this technology, is it a consumer level technology or for enterprise only?
It's more for the enterprise, but you bring up a good point, because if you're a patient at a hospital and you take devices home with you as an outpatient type of a work, that device is connected to the hospital network.
And your home network.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. And so when there is an attack on a hospital network, that includes the device that you brought home.
Oh. Now, how do you guys protect that? I guess it has to start at the enterprise level, put a shield over that device, but when I go into my house, do I have a second vulnerability? Because now my crazy AT&T connection that gets crazy people all the time, I guess the device could be secondarily vulnerable.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Because now you're not looking at just the device itself. You're looking at an untrusted network that the device is on. Right?
Oh boy.
And so we have to now look at the network of the hospital itself, as well as kind of the secondary network that you're now connected to.
Now, does Zingbox help, protect that through some kind of VPN connection? Do you want those devices to use a dial-in part of the network, not your home network?
Is it an app? Is it?
Yeah, it's actually a service, and so it's a cloud-based service. So we have an appliance that's in this case like a hospital setting where it looks at all the network traffic, then it sends it up to the cloud, and that's where it does the analytics. Right. The interesting thing about dial-up and those kind of network is that it's still a network. It's just a slower network. So maybe you get infected a little slowly, but it's still vulnerable, right?
Okay. That doesn't make me feel good. Infected more slowly. That sounds like a bad sore or something like that. All right. Now, what are the kinds of things you guys do besides those vertical markets? Can we apply this to any internet? Can my refrigerator not wake up and kill me because I didn't order milk? Mm-hmm. Can we apply it to that? Or is it That's too far outside the enterprise, right?
No, it's actually not that far out. So, you know, we basically aim to look at IoT devices in general. That includes healthcare, obviously, but manufacturing, the ones that are the robots that are building your next car.
Yeah.
It could be the surveillance cameras at your school.
Okay.
It could be an HVAC system that's tied to the internet, right? And so if you look at IoT, it's pretty huge. And so, you know, knowingly or not, we probably use and depend on it every day, regardless of what you do.
Yeah. Interesting discussion. Just saw Billy Rios here give his research disclosure on IoT devices that are publicly accessible. Mm-hmm. And as just a regular consumer in the public, you don't realize, for example, car washes being built on a control network with IoT devices and the risks that are embedded in the software.
Yeah, totally. You know, we have, I'm from the Bay Area, we have a Tesla manufacturing plant there. Just imagine that you order a car and next thing you know, it's flying all over the place, right? It could happen.
I don't feel good. I don't feel good.
The IoT is just is an emerging market.
I know, it's too big a thing.
There's a lot of technologies that are just increasingly flooding the market, and their security is still not baked in. It's an afterthought. So
now, here's what I think about the Internet of Things with manufacturers, right? I mean, I get it if you got XP and you didn't upgrade things, you got networks and software, but you know, a modern manufacturer manufacturing a modern device, I'm not talking about my Motorola flip phone, which is probably safer, by the way, right, in one way.
Yeah, I agree.
Why are the manufacturers not saying, you know what, let me sit down with Zingbox and some other people, and let's build this thing from the ground up and put this in first, and then we'll worry about it. It can't take them that much longer to get to market, can it?
Yeah, well, I think the whole IoT concept is rather new, even from a manufacturer perspective. And I think, you know, in healthcare and others, you're governed by FDA and other type of requirements, right?
Yeah.
Which you need to get certification for.
Okay.
And that process, you know, takes a lot of time. And so, it, you know, even if they have the best of intent to say, I want to secure these devices the modern way, you know, there are some limitations in what they can do. And so I think that's why when we took an approach, we said, well, we're going to work with the device manufacturers, but we're certainly going to complement what their devices can do in a kind of a non-intrusive way.
What kind of resistance do you get from a manufacturer? Let's say you lost a sale. Give me an example of why you think you lost it. What was the resistance from the manufacturer?
Well, you know, we actually don't get that much resistance from the manufacturer. I think it's more of they're definitely willing to work with us and you know, provide a secure solution at the end. It's just that they are limited by how fast they can act by other means.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
Yep.
You take it, because I got a headache. I'm worried now.
What keeps you up at night?
You know, I think one of the key things, that, as everybody have seen, the WannaCry, the NotPetya, all these ransomware come in. And so far, I think people are focused very much on the data. You're stealing my data, you're holding my data at ransom. I think when you talk about IoT, that the next generation of attacks, I think it's going to go toward our services.
The control, being able to control
all right, good point.
The device.
Makes sense. Yeah.
That's
and
scary to think
about and,
it.
And if those devices gets out of you know your hands, you know the surgery that you're supposed to be scheduled for may not happen. Right, a lot of the devices that you rely on, that you take for granted, may just not work. And so people are very much fixated on data, but I think the next set of attacks is going to be these services.
And I'll tell you on the physical side, the next set of attacks is going to be in hospitals.
Yep.
Because people are pissed off they lost their insurance. So you got humans coming in, and you got somebody messing with the hall thermometer.
There's a political side of that, too.
Yeah, that's right. Well, John, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, sure.
Fascinating information.
Yeah.
I'm glad Zingbox is on the case. And check out Zingbox.com on the web. Yeah. And we'll see you on the next show here at SecurityGuyTV.com at Black Hat 2017.